Good morning, everybody. So I'd like to welcome everybody up here in the sanctuary, everybody downstairs in the fellowship hall, and everybody online. Today is youth service. If you can't tell, I'm not the normal age that you would see up here. Scott is going to be doing the service today, he set a challenge for us this year at youth group, that every day at 1:25 we were to do something for somebody else. And this was based off the scripture passage James 1:2-5. So count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Off that passage, anytime it was 1:25, we were supposed to give an encouraging message to someone or pray or do something, even if we were at school, at work, wherever we were. And with that, rise and sing.
Morning. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, God. Lord, I thank you for all you do for us, Jesus. Thank you for your provisions in our lives. Lord, your blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst for you, Lord Jesus, to know more about you, Lord, and to just want you. Lord God, I pray for Mackenzie Root and the Young Life Ministry, Lord Jesus. Pray for energy, Lord, and boldness in proclaiming the gospel as she seeks to finish the school year and prepare for summer events. Lord Jesus, I also pray for our youth group trips, Lord Jesus, with Urban Impact in May and August. Lord Jesus, I just pray for that, Lord, that it'll be a blessing to everybody that we're reaching out to, Lord Jesus. God, I just pray for the Statfield family, Lord, and Lord, their family, and the Dion Callie, Lord Jesus. Hazel Johnston, Brittany Nicole's grandmother, Lord, Deonnie's mother-in-law, passed away on Monday, April 22nd. Lord Jesus, I just pray for them and their family, Lord God, that you will sustain them, Lord, and strengthen them. And God, I just ask you to keep these families, Lord, in your hand at this time, Lord Jesus. God, I want to lift up Maria Derrico, Lord Jesus, and her struggle that she's going through, Lord Jesus. She loves you, God, and she gives her whole heart out to all of us, Lord, and you, Lord Jesus. And I ask you to bless her, Lord Jesus, to strengthen her through this time, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray for her surgery coming up on May 13th, Lord God, that you will guide the doctor's hands, Lord. And also for Mark Jones, Lord Jesus, his surgery is on May 21st. God, I ask you to bless him, Lord Jesus, that this surgery will be absolutely perfect, God, and everything will go smoothly in the way it's to go. Lord, you are the almighty good doctor. And Lord, you are the almighty physician, Lord Jesus, and the Lord of lords and King of kings. No power is like yours, Lord Jesus. So I lift all of them up to you, Lord, your children. God, as we're speaking about perseverance today, Lord Jesus, I just want to lift up our brothers and sisters, Lord, that need prayer. Lord, Frank Angott, Barbara Oren, Ram Pat Malagaski, Lisa Lanzi, Kelly Dunn, Michelle Ebert, Pastor Dan's aunt. Lord Jesus, I also pray for Brian Day's mother, Lord, during this time. God, I pray for Kenzie Deesworth, Lord Jesus. Pray for Aaron Rodgers' uncle, Lord, and Mr. Nicholson's daughter, Lord Jesus. And I pray for Marge, Lord Jesus, and her knee. Lord, I pray for Nancy, Lord God, that you'll bless her, Lord Jesus. For Tommy's uncle and AJ and Audrey's uncle, Lord Jesus, as well. Pray for Kate Wilson, Pastor Jack, as he's away, Lord Jesus, bless his time, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for my father as he gives this message, Lord Jesus, that you will bless him, Lord, that God, I know even all of our youth group, we love him, Lord Jesus, and I know you love him, that he's done such a great job, Lord, and I lift him up to you. Thank you for him not only being good to all the people in here, but being a good father as well. He's a great example, Lord Jesus, of your love shining unto other people. God, lastly, I pray for the offering today, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, that your children who give, Lord Jesus, will give out of generosity and love, Lord God, and I just ask you to bless the offering, bless the church, and bless all that we do. In your precious holy name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
The first verse we'll be reading today is from 1 Corinthians verses 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
Philippians 3:12 through 14 says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ."
Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Vanessa, for reading that scripture. Again, I just want to welcome everyone here this morning. It's good to see all of you, especially if you are a visitor or brand new to Water Dam this morning. We especially want to welcome you into our presence here. I'd like to take this opportunity. A lot of times, Jack and Dan are up here, and they always get a chance to thank you, and so I feel honored to do that today. I just want to thank all of you for your prayers and your support for my family and for the youth group. I can't tell you how much we really appreciate it. You're through the cards, through letters, just through constant encouragement. Can't thank you enough. We really appreciate that. Parents, I want to thank you for sending your kids each and every week to us. They are just a wonderful group of young men and young women, and we just love them so much, and we thank you for sending them to us and to be able to minister to them. And my leaders, if you could, I would like the leadership team to stand up, please, to notice you, because we can't do this without them. So if we just thank our leaders as well, because I really appreciate them. Thank you. Will you join me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, my God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we are talking about perseverance. And if you look at perseverance, the definition, it is continuing with something even when it is difficult, not giving up and finding a way to push through when life gets hard. And so I was trying to think of some people who have persevered in life. And I'm sure if I asked you, you could probably come up with a lot of examples here. But I wanted to show you some people if they're going to come up here on the screen. I had three people in mind. There's our first one there. All right, I'm going to ask our young people, our youth group, we're going to see if the schools are doing their job. Would someone like to raise their hand and tell me who that young person is right there? Or they just look young in that person. Ava. It is Thomas Edison. Good job, Ava. Well done. So Thomas Edison, as you well know, he was an inventor of many things, but he is well known for being an inventor of the light bulb. And he had that famous quote, because there are many times where he failed while making the light bulb, and they asked him about that. And his famous quote was, "I have not failed, I just found 10,000 ways that won't work." And he also said, "Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is to try one more time." So that was Thomas Edison. Our next guy, I think most of you will know. I know the guys that they're going to say. Who wants to? Oh, Adelaide, you're going to go. Go ahead, Adelaide. Who is that? Not LeBron James, but that's a great guess, though. All right. I will have a conversation with your parents afterwards, okay? What's up with that, Josh? All right. Layla. It is. Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, as you well know, he's probably one of the greatest basketball players that ever played the game. But what you may or may not know is that he was cut from his high school basketball team when he was a sophomore in high school. And they asked him, they offered him to play on the JV team, his sophomore year in high school. So that was a blow to him, but he came back. Ended up doing very well. Went on to play for the University of North Carolina. I think won a national championship, and then won six national championships for the Chicago Bulls in the NBA. This next guy, I'm not too sure how many of you will know who this is. I might have to ask the congregation if you have an idea who this guy is here. Any guesses? Tom, you want to try it? Yes, it is the guy from the movie. That's right. Go ahead, Josh. It is not. His name is Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini. And Louis Zamperini was the main feature in two movies. They were called Unbroken and Unbroken 2. And who Louis Zamperini was, he was a World War II POW, where he spent time in a Japanese camp, but he also competed in the 1936 Olympic Games, where he's training right here for the United States. And I said that he was a POW in the Japanese camp, and if you've never seen those movies, I would encourage you to check them out, please, if you could. In the movie, I don't want to give it away, but there were a couple times in the movie, there was a guy, his name was The Bird, and he had a big thing against Louis Zamperini, and he tried to break him. One time to a point where Louis was standing right there, and all the guys, I don't know how many, came up and just hit him in the face, one right after the other, to try to break him down. Another time, he was holding a beam, and if Louis's hands came down all the way, they were going to kill him, but he found that extra energy and kept it up. Great story about perseverance. Again, if you've never seen the movie, I would encourage you to check it out for Louis Zamperini, Unbroken and Unbroken 2. I have another bird story, not that bird story, it's a lighter bird story, and this is going to drive my wife crazy. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but in our house, and this has happened for the past 2 months, and it happened as recently as this past week as I was preparing this sermon, we have a bird outside our window that just keeps pecking at the window. Dunk, 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 dunk. And it just keeps pecking and it won't stop. And every time I'm like, hey, honey, our guest is back, and she gets so frustrated. And so one day I went to go check out this bird. I just wanted to check him out and just say hi to him. And I go over, and sure enough, there he is pecking on the window, dunk, dunk, dunk. And then he's flapping his wings up in the air, and I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, this bird was tenacious, and he is still there. So if any of you have any ideas to come over and get this bird out of our house, we would really appreciate it. But he's persistent. He does not give up. I was thinking of some people in the Bible, and I'm sure we can come up with a lot of people in the Bible who showed perseverance. Job. Job lost his family when Satan told God, he has everything, but if you do something to him, he's going to curse you. But Job never did. But he lost his kids. He lost his animals. Painful sores all over his body. It really doesn't say how long he went through this, but whenever you have painful sores all over your body, no matter how long it is, it feels like it's forever. But it says in James 5:11, it talks about his perseverance and what the Lord brought about after all that time. So Job was one. Another was Moses. Moses, he brings the people out of Egypt to lead them to the promised land and leads them to the Ten Commandments. But then because the people reject God and are disobedient, he has to now roam the desert for 40 more years. Okay, that's perseverance in itself for Moses. Joseph was sold by his brothers in Egypt. And at the time, he was only 17 years of age. And in the Bible, it says that he did not get to see his family again until he was 40 years old. So that's about 23 years that he doesn't get to see his family. And during that time, if you remember, he's put in prison for 2 years at that time because I just forgot the man's wife. Thank you. Potiphar, yes, right. His wife tried to accuse Joseph of trying to attack her, but Joseph ran away. But because of that, he was put in prison for 2 years. Perseverance there. But then finally, I know this is one person who I always ask pastors who their favorite person is in the Bible besides Jesus. And the one person they always come up with is Paul. Paul is always a famous answer. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, he actually goes through what he went through. And listen to what he's been through. It says, Paul was put in prison more frequently, flogged more severely, exposed to death again and again, 5 times receiving 39 lashes from the Jewish people, 3 times being beaten with rods, stoned once, shipwrecked 3 times, spent a night and day in the open sea, constantly moving around from place to place, in danger from rivers, bandits, his own countrymen, Gentiles, in the city, in the country, at sea from false brothers. He would work hard a lot of times without sleep, known to be hungry and thirsty, and sometimes going without food and being cold and naked. Paul, perfect definition of someone who represents perseverance. But through that, it reveals that perseverance doesn't get a pass from pain or hardship, but instead, a testimony in the midst of troubles. Let me just say a show of hands here. How many of you like to run? How many of you love to run? I know we have some in our leadership team that love to. Okay, I see a few hands out there. How many of you like to run far distances? Okay, yeah, I knew, Levi, you're going to be one of those, okay? I myself, the only place I like to run is from the couch to the refrigerator and back. That's it. No more than that. So I have a lot of respect for people who love to run far distances in marathons and stuff like that. But Paul compares the Christian life to a race. There's a beginning. There's an end. The objective of the race is to view the finish line and try to win the prize. But however, in the Christian walk, the race is a marathon. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And we're running for a different prize. If you could, Caleb read for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. If you can turn there for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And I just want to go through what Paul says here. He says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. For everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." Which is true. Whenever you're in a running competition, any competition for that matter, you have to prepare for it. You can't go into it and expect to do well if you don't train well. But it says this: they do it to get a crown that will not last. And so when I think about this, my dad always used to say, hey, it's only money. You can't take it with you. And so when I think about a prize at the end, it's nice to get that prize for people who run a race. But at some point, that trophy is going to collect dust. And when it's all said and done, it's not going to matter much. So then we move on. But we do it, meaning we do it, we train ourselves to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Friends, along with praying and worshiping and ministering to people, I believe Paul was constantly thinking biblically as far as training and disciplining himself in the spiritual race, which is what we should be doing ourselves. We should have a biblical hunger, a biblical thinking, and a biblical mindset with a clear direction of where we want to go. I don't know if you know this or not, but the scripture passage that is the theme for our youth ministry is from Romans 12, 2, and it says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you do, it says you will be able to test and approve his good and pleasing will for your life. And so we believe that a transformed mind and a changed life leads to perseverance and a strong finish. I want to go into one more thing before I give you 3 points that I want to give you for today. One nice thing about running, and I was even comparing this even to swimming. Brian, you would appreciate this too as well because you're a swim coach, is that when you run sometimes, you not only compete against other teams and other runners, but you're really competing against yourself. Okay, you compete against yourself. You can focus on your best time and try to improve each meet. So that even if you don't finish in the top three as far as where runners are going or where swimmers are going, you can at least try to beat your time from the previous day. And you can come out on top that way. And so I want to let you know, our spiritual race is not a competition. We don't have to beat anyone. It is our race and our race only. Each and every person in this room here today has a different race that you are running. What we do share together is finishing strong. So my question is, are we improving spiritually, setting best times each day? And there are going to be some days, as you well know, they're going to be really difficult, but that's just life itself. However, will we continue to run faithfully in the next day's race? Because a strong finish, I believe, brings glory to the God who loves us. And so what I want to do today, and what the youth group wants to do today, is we want to give you 3 points of encouragement as far as how to persevere in your Christian walk with God and how to finish strong. And the first point is going to be looking up or praying up. What we've been doing at youth group this whole month has been talking about persevering. And we've been reading stories in the Bible about people who have persevered. So the first point I want you to do is to look up or even pray up. And we are to pray without ceasing for anyone or anything we're going through, no matter how long it takes. If you notice, the young people, they look good today in their gray shirts. And it's from this passage we're going to go over pretty soon. It's from Luke, and it says, never give up, always pray, and never give up. And so that's what we are to do. We are to persist in praying. Paul tells us that no matter how long it takes, we are to keep doing that. He tells the people in Ephesus to pray, listen to this, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and always pray for the saints. You hear those words in there? All, and always. I know sometimes this can be difficult because there's a lot of times where we pray for things and we feel like God is not hearing our prayer. Over and over again, we just keep praying. We think, God, are you even listening? Are you there? And we want him to answer in our timely fashion. Sometimes we are just so impatient when it comes to that. In Luke 18, Jesus gives us a parable of a persistent widow. And this persistent widow was treated, says, unjustly by somebody. We don't know who it was. We don't know if she has any kids. We just know that she was not treated right. And so she goes to a judge each and every day, time and time again. And this judge isn't someone who fears God and who dislikes man. That's what it says in Luke 18. He doesn't fear God and he dislikes man. And so this persistent widow goes to him day in and day out saying, can you give me justice, please? Can you give me justice, please? He doesn't do it until finally after a while, he's like, oh, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. He goes, because she keeps coming to me, I'm going to give her justice so that she doesn't wear me out. The lesson here, guys, is to remain persistent in your prayer life. Be dependent on God, because apart from him, we can do nothing. God will not ignore you or put you off. He loves you, and he loves to hear your prayers, and he will answer them in his time. Please know that sometimes, though, the prayers that we ask, we may not get what we're expecting, but we have to trust him that he knows best. There's another story in Scripture in 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, and it's about a woman by the name of Hannah. And Hannah was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. And Elkanah had two wives. One was Hannah. The other one was, I'll try not to mess this name up, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not, because the Lord had closed her womb. It says in 1 Samuel that Peninnah, what she would do is she would provoke and she would irritate Hannah day after day after day for years. And it got to a point where it was almost like she was a bully. And she did it for so many years that Hannah eventually, what she did was she cried, she broke down, and she cried, and she was miserable. One day, Hannah prayed to the Lord so hard from her heart that her lips were moving, but her voice could not be heard. It was from the heart, but you could see her praying, but you couldn't hear anything coming out. And it says in Scripture that the Lord remembered Hannah, and in the course of time, not knowing how much time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to Samuel, who became a prophet for the Lord. This past February, I don't know how many of you heard Jim Halstead, who came and did a workshop on evangelism. And Jim ended up preaching that same day. And he had said in that evangelism workshop that since 1977, he would pray for his sister 3 to 4 times a week to give her life to Christ. And after ministering to her for years, she finally became a Christian this year. 47 years later, after he began praying, she became a Christian on her dad's birthday. What a great birthday gift for her dad. And then he also prayed for his nephew, whose name was Griffin, every Friday for 37 years until he finally met the Lord. Friends, you see, it doesn't matter how long you've been praying. As long as you stay the course, you keep on running, you keep on looking up, and you remain steadfast because God is listening and he hears you. So first one is to look up or pray up. Number two is to get up. Get up. How many of you ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire? Don't worry, I'm not going to start singing the song and start running through the aisles here, okay? I'm not going to do that. Chariots of Fire was a great story about a minister who was from Great Britain. His name was Eric Little, and he became a Scottish missionary to China, and he was also a runner in the 1924 Olympic Games. Eric loved to run, and in the movie, I remember him telling his wife, he said, "I feel God's presence when I'm running." God gave him that gift to run. He says, "I feel God's presence when I'm running." Story goes, and I don't know if this happened in the Olympic Games or not, but he was running this race that was 400 meters. And at the beginning of the race, what happens is somebody knocks him down, and he goes down, and the race continues. So a lot of people at this point, I think, would have just said, "All right, I'm out, I'm done. There's no way I'm catching this guy." Because when he got up, story is told that the lead runner was 30 meters ahead. I have to be honest, I had to look up how much 30 meters is, okay? Because I did not know. It is 100 feet, okay? About 100 feet, okay? All right, if I'm off a little bit, don't get mad at me. All right, so he was about 100 feet ahead, which is a lot of feet. It's a long way. But Eric Liddell felt that he had this gift from God, so he willed himself to get up, catch up, and pass the leaders to win the race. He claimed it took him 9 months to recover just from that run race because he pushed himself and exerted himself to get that done. The fact is he got up and pressed on. He had a faith that God would help him get back in the race under insurmountable odds. Another story that we read with the youth group about perseverance was found in Luke, where there are four men who are helping help carry a paralyzed man on a mat. And they take him to this house, but there's no room. If you remember the story, there's no room in the house. It is packed. And so there's no way to get in because not only is there no room in the house, there is no room on the outside as well. The door, everybody on the outside, you can't get in. It's totally blocked, and so now they don't know what to do. Instead of giving up, they come up with another plan, and they say, "We're going to go through the roof." And so that's what they do. They take the man up on the roof, and they take him down. We call this a through-the-roof kind of faith. A through-the-roof is a saying that is something that's extraordinary. So if a company's doing really well, they've had a good year, you say they've had a through-the-roof type of year. If there's an athlete that's doing really well and his numbers are great, you say, "Man, his batting average is through the roof." And so what these guys do is they take this guy and they lower him down in front of Jesus, a through-the-roof kind of faith. And in doing so, Jesus sees them doing that, and he sees their faith, and he tells this man to get up. And it says in Scripture, immediately, no pause, no hesitation, immediately he gets up, takes his mat, goes home, and praises God. Another story in John chapter 5, we read about a man who was an invalid for 38 years. And he is lying by this pool to where people thought that when it was being stirred by an angel, the first person that would get into this pool would be healed. That was their thinking. And so this man went down by this pool waiting for someone to take him into the pool. The only problem was nobody offered to help. They walked by him every day, ignoring him. Okay, and so for 38 years, he just lay there without any help getting into the pool until the day Jesus arrives on the scene. And as soon as Jesus tells him to get up, in Scripture it says, at once he was cured and he picked up his mat and walked. After 38 years of feeling hopeless, he still possessed a through-the-roof kind of faith. Friends, I want to tell you today that when life gets you down and you feel exhausted, worn out, dejected, sometimes depressed, you feel like there is no hope whatsoever and that you can't go on, find that second wind that most runners do in a race. Get up and keep moving forward. Have that through-the-roof kind of faith and trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because without it, it is impossible to please God and have hope at the same time. Tommy, this morning, read the scripture of James, considering it joy when facing trials, so that perseverance can finish its work, so we can be mature and complete. How do we do that? How do we find joy in the trials and tribulations that we face. It could be they could be a blessing to use as a testimony to somebody else that might be hurting, or for a way for us to draw closer to Jesus. Allison, where's Allison? Right here. Allison did a great job playing that song, Blessings on You. That was awesome. I wanted to read the words to you that went to that song that kind of tells you that even through the tough times in our life, they can be blessings. It says this: what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? The rain, the storms, the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise. In Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says this, that when we suffer and we go through hard times, it develops perseverance. Perseverance turns into character. Character turns into hope. And it says that hope never fails and never disappoints. I want to bring up one more thing before we head to our last point. I know there's a lot of young people, and maybe even some older people too, that feel like the sins of their past are just too much for them, and there's no way God can forgive them of those sins, and they're held back, and they feel defeated. I know. I've been there. But I want to let you know that if you know someone who has messed up, or if you've messed up so bad that you feel like God cannot forgive you, and you feel like quitting, and you feel like throwing in the towel, I want you to know this. God has not given up on you. In fact, he forgives you. And all you do is, by the way, I got this from Jack, so I got to give Jack credit on this one. You need to put your hand of faith in God's hand of grace. Put your hand of faith in God's hand of grace. The grace of God is full of second chances, third chances, and 100th chances. It's about progress, not perfection. We might fumble the ball at times, that's a possibility, but God never gives up on us. He says, get up, get out there. This race is not over. In Philippians 3, 13 to 14, which is what Vanessa read, Paul says this: one thing I do, forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He is saying that if you go to Christ and you ask for forgiveness of your sins, he has forgotten them. And if he's forgotten them, you should too. Put him behind you. Let it go. And then strain forward and press on. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. And so we strive and press on to win the eternal prize that will last forever. So look up or pray up, get up, and the last one, don't give up. In Mark 5, there's a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and she had suffered a great deal after seeing many doctors and spending all she had, and she had gotten worse. And here is someone who has reached the end of the line. You know, she spent all her money, she has seen the best doctors, she's been bleeding for 12 years, and she hasn't gotten any better, and in reality, she has no hope. And she hears about Jesus going through a crowd, and she says, if I can just have that through-the-roof mentality, and if I can just touch him, I know I'll be healed. And in doing so, the bleeding stops, and she was free from her suffering because she would not quit, even in those dire circumstances. In 1992, during the Summer Olympics in Barcelona, there was a young man by the name of Derek Redmond. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of him or if you remember this story in 1992. But Derek was running the race, the same race, ironically, as Eric Liddell. It was a 400-meter race. And so they start the race, and as they're going around the track, you see Derek pull up. It's like a hamstring. Nobody knows. There's a camera on him, but then the other runners just keep going. And so the race finally finishes. All the runners are done, but Derek is still on the track. And he gets up off the track, and the people are coming out there to try to help him get off, but he's pushing them away. And what Derek starts to do is, he starts to hobble around the track, real slow, step by step, one step at a time. But you can tell he's in a lot of pain, but he is determined to make it around. He gets to the point where he can see the straightaway. He can see the finish line. And all of a sudden, out of the stands comes a man out of nowhere. And he takes Derek's arm and he puts it around him. And Derek puts his arm around him. And slowly but surely, they start to go down the track, one step at a time. The pain is so horrific. Derek is crying on this man's shoulders. It's so hard. As they're doing this, the people in the whole place, in the stadium, are standing. They are clapping. And here's Derek and this man just holding on to each other, and they finally cross the finish line, and the place erupts, erupts. To this day, nobody can tell you who won that race. It was a semifinal race. But I can tell you this right now. People remember Derek Redmond. They remember him getting up off that track when he didn't have any hope, and he kept going. The man who picked him off the track, it was his dad, Jim. They came out of the stands and helped him around. Friends, I know there are many of you here today, in this sanctuary, downstairs in Fellowship Hall, online, where there are things that are going on in your life, where there is health issues for you or for someone in your family. There are family issues going on at home. There's a loss of a loved one, either within the past year or the past 5 years or the past 10 years. A job situation. Maybe you're just frustrated with the way the world is right now. And I just want to say that we love you and we pray for you and we care about you. But I want to tell you that we have a Savior who endured the cross because of the joy set before him. He persevered through the worst kind of pain that anyone could endure. Being hit in the face, spit upon, beaten, flogged, a crown of thorns on his head, carrying a jagged cross on his open back, and enduring nails in his hands and feet, and all without a word. And he did it for you and me, because he loves us. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In a race, the judges mark out the race for you. Everybody runs the same race. They mark it out. Jesus marks out your race. Remember, everybody's race is different. He marks it out for you. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So friends, if you are here today and you're feeling weak, tired, weary, you feel like you're limping along, you think you're ready to go down and you have no hope or no joy, I want you to know this. Consider what Jesus did for us so that you will not get tired and lose hope. Jesus is that Father who comes beside you and puts his loving arms around you just like Jim did with his son. And not only Jesus, but you have people who have gone before us who are watching over us and people here today who are encouraging you along. And they are saying, you got this. You're not done. Let's finish this race. I'm going to ask the students who are reading scripture to come over here on the sides. As they line up, I want to read something to you. I've been singing this song all week. It's a song by the Christian artist Mandisa, who actually just passed away this week. And she put out a song called Overcomer. And she said about this song is about overcoming battles in life and to encourage people in the middle of whatever they are facing. It is about hope, perseverance, faith. Don't look at how far you have to go. Just put one foot in front of the other and don't look back. We can't control what happens in life, but we can control how we respond. If we stay positive and stay in the fight till the final round, we can overcome more than we will ever dream possible. I just want to read some of the words to this song to encourage you today. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope. Whatever it is you may be going through, I know he's not going to let it get the best of you. Everybody's been down, hit the bottom, hit the ground. You're not alone. Just take a breath and don't forget. Hang on to his promises. He wants you to know. You're an overcomer. Stay in the fight till the final round. You're not going under because God is holding you right now. You might be down for a moment, feeling like it's hopeless. That's when he reminds you that you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. The same man, the great I am, the one who overcame death, he's living inside of you. So just hold tight. Fix your eyes on the one who holds your life. There's nothing he can't do. He's telling you, take a breath. Don't forget. Hang on to his promises. So don't quit. Don't give in. You are an overcomer. So overcomers, here's what I want to tell you today. When our race is complete and we cross that finish line, we can confidently say the words that Paul said to Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day and to all who long for his appearing. And we can hear those wonderful words from God himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. What I want you to do right now, I have our wonderful students. They're going to read scripture passages. And sometimes I do this. I just close my eyes and I just listen to what God has to say to me through scripture. You can do whatever you want. You can close your eyes. You can sit there and be still. But they're going to come read some scripture passages that are going to be an encouragement and a hope for you.
Psalm 37:24. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand.
Psalm 71:14. As for me, I will always exalt.
Stands firm to the end will be saved.
Romans 15:4-6. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives us endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Psalm 42:11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Isaiah 40:30-31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall.
But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Psalms 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Psalm 31:24. Be strong and take heart in all you who hope in the Lord.
James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under a trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.
First Timothy 6:11 through 12. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, goodliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life in which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Romans 8:24 to 25. For in this hope we are saved. But what hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
First Thessalonians 1:3. We remember before God, our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised.
Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, 6 through 7. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Chapter 12, verse 11 through 12. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.
Psalm 62:5-6.
Yes, my soul.
Find rest in God.
My hope comes from him.
Truly he is my rook.
And my salvation.
He is my fortress.
I'll never be shaken.
Hebrews 10:23-24. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds.
2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Romans 2:7. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life.
Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop.
1 Peter 5:10-11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
What a great group of young people here. We are so blessed. So friends, overcomers, keep on keeping on. You are an overcomer. Look up, get up, don't ever give up. The Lord is with you. He will never leave you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you.